Yes, as Ellen says, Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel.
Thank you, Joan. And our second reading is John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And Isabel is going to read that for us. Thank you, Isabel.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you, Isabel. So we'll just pray for Ian as he's coming to talk to us this morning. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you inspire us by your Holy Spirit to hear your word and inspire Ian to deliver what you have given to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Helen, and thank you to Joe and Isabel for our readings. Okay, guess what links those two readings? Marriage and family life. Not a bad subject for today and a good thing to pray for as well. Why are those readings set for today though? Well, it's the Epiphany season, and Epiphany means the revealing or the showing of Christ. And the main story you remember from the Feast of Epiphany itself on January the 6th is the wise men journeying from the east to see the Christ child, bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. But there are other Epiphany stories when it was revealed that Jesus is the Christ. There was, of course, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River when the heavens were opened and a voice from heaven declared Jesus to be God's beloved Son. Last Sunday, we thought about the calling of the disciples to follow Christ and about God's call to us. And today, the wedding at Cana, from John 2. And our reading concludes at the end there. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So that set me thinking, what's at the heart of our society? Each of us, of course, is an individual. And often today we operate as individuals, don't we? one of the results of the Enlightenment, the huge growth in science, knowledge, opportunity, and choice. One of the results, though, is that our Western culture has become very individualistic, very atomized. But the next step up is the family unit. We all begin as a child, of course, normally in a family of one kind or another. And families are like the basic unit of society. But every relationship is different, and therefore every family is unique. Yes, we have friends, people that we connect with, relationships that we've chosen. But families are kind of like a given, aren't they? We're born into them. I don't know about you, I'm a sucker for those TV programs about the emergency services, rescuing people, saving lives at sea, for example, about the RNLI, or ambulance, or 24 hours in A&E. And time and again on those programs, the professionals are deeply moved by the responses of families in a crisis, how you see the power of love in action, as people do the most astonishing things in an emergency for those that they love the most. Now, all through lockdown, we've felt the blessings of being together in a household, being able to hug one another. I think it's actually been hardest for those who are living on their own, or those with few family, and some of you will know all about that. Individualism makes life very tough in a crisis. We need relationships. We need each other. Psalm 128 that Joe read for us is part of a group of psalms written for people coming in from the countryside, going up to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And it's a Jewish blessing on your home, on marriage and family life. A blessing on your wife and children. May you have peace and prosperity. May you have faith in the Lord and be blessed by him. May you live a long life and see your children's children. It's a lovely blessing and a good prayer to pray for your friends and relatives. But as we know, not every family is like that, are they? This week I've been reading about living in love and faith, which is a church conversation about sexuality. It's not an easy subject. It's one that often generates strong feelings, or perhaps more heat than light, as some people have said. But we're beginning to recognize the amazing spectrum of people's natures and experience. LLF, as it's called, is a church program focused on listening to God together and allowing ourselves to be transformed. But the possibility of being changed produces real fear in people. The prospect of letting go of certainty and entering into the unknown. Some of the contributors I was listening to, many of them having had lots of conversations with people of different views, they tended to say that they may not have shifted much in their convictions, their views, but they've certainly learned a lot by listening. And I think that's a very honest balance. Billy Graham said that we need to be anchored to the rock whilst geared to the times. Anchored to the rock whilst geared to the times. As we get older, there's often a risk that we don't hold that tension so well. We either lose our purchase, our firm grip on the rock of God, and our faith begins to drift with the times. Or perhaps just as often, we become set in our ways. We hunker down and we stop listening and adjusting to a fast-changing world. The wedding at Cana that Isabel read for us is an actual story that happened in Jesus' life. But you could see it almost like a parable. It's a story about transformation, isn't it? About water into wine. Jesus and his family, of course, were guests at the wedding. And all seemed to be going well, and people were having a good time. But when the wine ran out, you can imagine there must have been a real panic behind the scenes. Jesus' mother Mary, she doesn't tell her grown-up son what to do. That'd be a bad idea. She just tells him about the problem and then leaves it with him. I think that's a fine example of intercession, isn't it? When you go to the doctor, just tell the doctor where it hurts. If you start saying what pills and treatment you're expecting, it doesn't go down very well. So likewise, don't tell God what answers you're expecting to your prayer. Just leave it to him, how he answers your prayer. Mary already trusted the adult Jesus to sort it out. She knew her son. It does seem as if Joseph wasn't there by this time. It seems as if the firstborn son of the family, who was Jesus, of course, was head of the family by this time. And to start with, Jesus resists the pressure from his mother. But she just calls the servants over and tells them to do whatever he says and leaves it with him and them. Meanwhile, I think Jesus must have heard a whisper from the Spirit of God, because he just knows what to do next. He instructs the servants to fill the huge, massive, great jars with water and then take them to the wine steward. I do wonder, when does the change actually happen? Was it the moment when the servants obeyed Jesus, did what he said and filled the glasses up, filled the jars up? Or was it as they carried them through on the journey from backstairs to front of house? Or was it as the sommelier tasted them and declares, this is the best wine ever? Wouldn't we love to know the mechanics of it all? But no matter, God dealt with it and answered the prayer. Selwyn Hughes, the founder of CWR Waverley Abbey and the writer of Every Day with Jesus Bible Notes, he said this: if we play by the old rules, we'll lose the new battles. In other words, go with God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but who's always doing a new thing as well, who's creating afresh in our world. So marriage and family life are at the heart of our society. And I think we're discovering the real value of them when we hit trouble and when we have to dig deep. And behind every marriage and family life should be a strong relationship with God in Christ by the power of his Spirit within us. So, as Billy Graham would have put it, anchor yourself to that rock and then gear yourself to the times that we live in. It's a great combination, isn't it? Amen.